Scarbo is doing what the same would want ScarJo to do for him.
Pop my top and pour it out.
It wouldn't be the first time.
After I leave.
I don't know how that translates sexually, but it sounded so good.
It did.
Stop and pour it out.
ScarJo might actually be one of our few listeners, so.
Boy, I hope so.
God, if she is.
I'll text her after this.
You'll text her.
Yeah, I'll text her. Yeah,
thanks, dude.
No problem.
You're a real team player.
Welcome to another Beer and Loathing podcast. My name is Pete M. I'm joined by Sam Sly and Mad Dog 2020, of course. And today we have Jeff and Mike. Hello, Jeff and Mike.
Hey, Pete.
How's it going, Pete?
It's going really well. What are you guys drinking?
Oh, we're drinking the Blue Note from Bell's.
Black Note. So. Black.
Oh. Yeah, the label's blue. It's meant to confuse you.
I'm confused.
Well, I have blue balls for Black Note, guys.
Oh, man, this beer is so good. This is as good as it gets for bourbon barrel-aged stouts for me.
So it's really fucking fantastic. Good. I haven't had it in like two, three years, but goddamn, I miss it.
We were chatting a little bit before we got started, and I didn't realize this was one of Jeff's favorite beers, and I started to say how I felt bad, because last time I brought it to a bottle share down in Colorado Springs, it was right when Bell's, like, the beer nerds were revolting, or however you want to put it, because of the whole pending possible legal whatever with Innovation Brewing. And so I wanted to do a video where we basically did a throwback Thursday, flip off the camera, tell everyone that's hating on Bell's to fuck off. And Jeff in the video is just like sipping it, nodding his head, like, yeah, this is good. This is good. And someone's just like, chug, chug, chug. He just starts training it. So it was funny for the video, but now knowing that he likes that beer so much, I feel bad he didn't get to fully enjoy it. So I'm glad we were able to kind of save it this time. Savor it.
It's a good one.
It is.
So let's talk about our guests a little bit. Jeff and Mike, how are you guys doing, and what do you do? And
let the audience know who are you.
Who the fuck are these guys?
Who the fuck is Jeff and Mike?
I'm a brewer blender at Paradox Beer in Divide, Colorado.
Everything we do is barrel-aged, wild and sour. So kind of the funky, weird stuff. My background is in food. So I kind of was planning on being a chef and really tried every job in the restaurant and found out that restaurants weren't my thing. Didn't like the pace. Mm-hmm. And barrel aging, especially the kind of beer we make, is kind of, it's ready when it's ready. And it's really, really ideal for what I want to do. So I love it and really have a good time at Paradox.
You guys do very good cool work down there.
Thank you. We have a lot of fun.
Brian Hannigan showed me many sours at GABF.
Yeah.
I was so impressed.
Awesome.
I was talking on the last podcast about how when we went to GABF, I drank a bunch of sours and my shit smelled really weird the next morning.
We try to involve ourselves in sour fests a lot of times. And man, when I go to them, like, what the funk, and just anything where it's focused on sours, like, you really got to both prepare your stomach and then take something afterwards, because it is the amount of acid.
No,
it'll ruin anyone.
It does to shit what asparagus does to your pee-pee.
And we drink sour beers all the time. Like, I drink sour beer every day, so I don't.
Your body's acclimated to it.
Well, I don't think you can prepare yourself, because I'm telling you, it hits me as hard as it does anybody else. So.
When you die, they're going to cut open your stomach
and
find like a
loaf of
bread.
Just general sour stomach is the only way I can explain it. It's like, it almost feels like you're knotting up, you know, in your intestines.
Yeah.
It hurts. So.
It hurts.
Yeah. I think some antacids are a good idea if you're going to hit a sour fest of any kind.
I really wish I would have brought like an industrial size jug of Tums to GABF, but.
You'll see these sour bottle shares, and there'll be like a jug of Tums out on the counter next to all the bottles.
Instead of mints, just have Tums.
Exactly, yeah.
People like grabbing them by the fucking handful and just throwing them
into
their mouth.
Definitely, you gotta equalize those acids.
Mike, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, since we're just gonna graze it over that.
Okay. I'm Mike Scarbalis, go by Scarbs at the brewery, because we have too many people.
I should have told him what I go by, too. I'm certainly not Jeff, and he's not Mike.
We're not Mike.
We gave that up a while ago. It's like joining a motorcycle gang. Yeah, he's Scarbs, and I'm Airman.
All right.
Yeah.
I like to call Scarb Scarbo. I don't know why. That's been my
collabo. Because
we like to collabo one.
Yeah. Rhymes with ScarJo, which is always a topic of conversation. Also, here.
Yeah. I think that's also probably why I gravitate towards that. It's ScarJo, man.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, don't be envious.
Scarbo and ScarJo.
If anything, you're way up there. Now.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. I enjoy. No, I'm a blender and mopper at Paradox, and I'm just having a good time making beer.
Do you usually have to mop after you blend?
All the time.
Yes.
They're connected.
Yes.
Yes.
Mop after you everything. Actually, yes.
That's the proper procedure.
Is there anything we don't do that doesn't end in mopping? No.
if you don't mop, you're not doing your job right.
Yeah.
You start the day with mopping, and you usually end the day with mopping.
Yeah.
It's a good bookend.
So brewers and people that work at peep shows actually have a lot in common.
Very similar. And that's the thing.
I spend a lot of time wiping sticky white stuff down.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm talking about yeast. Get your mind.
I'm sure.
Whoa!
I'm sure your sticky wet stuff's way more delicious than the other ones.
Hey, I beg to differ, man.
Now wait a minute.
What's your experience there, Pete?
We've already covered so much ground in such a short amount of time.
I know. If the power went out and this ended right now, I think we'd have a winner.
We'd have a winner.
10 minutes of gold. Or white. I mean, depending on if you're talking about cum or the quality of the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Oh, man. So I do know you guys are working towards getting another facility opened and ready.
We are. We moved a few months back out to our new place in Divide, which is twice the size of where we were. We were originally in Woodland Park. That's where things started out. And at our new place, we've kind of already maxed it out.
Oh, nice.
We are now. Yeah, we just got a new bottling machine in this week, and we're out of space. So I think the idea would be to build a new building. We're kind of looking at what that would entail. But also, we want to have a tasting room there that we've partially built, just don't have all the permits for at this point.
Mm.
So hopefully this spring, that'll open up. Maybe that's in generate a little more income for us to grow on the property, because it is 3 acres, and we're not using all of it.
So. Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So this is my own ignorance, and I've met you guys several times. And do you guys keg beer?
Not at all.
Okay, that's what I wondered. I have never seen it anywhere.
So we'll naturally cask. So sugar and yeast into a beer, throw it into casks, throw it in the warm room, give it a week or two, and let it carbonate itself up. And throw it in the fridge and condition it. But we don't do any kegging, so they would actually have to have cask tapping equipment, which most people don't have.
Yeah, so that kind of
really limits where our beer can go. Yeah, a lot of people ask us for kegs, and it's like, do you have a hand-pulled cask tap by any chance?
Do you get down with the firkin, sir?
And a couple places have said no, but we'll buy one. And actually, we have a place. Yeah, Adams Mountain Cafe down in the Springs went ahead and just bought a whole system just so they could have our beer on.
That's awesome.
And so we get them our beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're one of the only places you can actually go get Paradox on tap anywhere. Actually,
yeah,
they are the only place you can get them.
I was going to say, I have never...
You're looking at me like, no, wait.
Hold, yeah,
qualify
right?
That.
Is this true? No, yeah. I have literally never seen it anywhere else on tap. That's why I was curious. I was kind of...
have the old school...
There's a lot of places in Denver, too, that have the cask system, like the Brown Palace Hotel or even Wind Coop and all that, but like...
What are they serving? Well, Wind Coop's obviously serving Wind Coop beer on it,
that's,
right?
That's what
incidentally, Brown Palace is actually selling a special Wind Coop beer that's only made for the Brown Palace.
Well, there you go.
There are other places that have cask handles, but you're right. I never even thought of that.
Hogshead does all cask.
And they do their own.
They're serving their own beer. Yeah. And it's just like that. If they're going to get one, they're going to serve their own beer.
Pints Pub has a cask, and they have their own in there, too. Yeah, they have an IPA that they do.
Lancer.
Serving there. Yeah.
Best IPA.
Nice.
Hands
really?
Ooh. Yeah. It's the temperature of your armpit, and it's delicious.
I can handle a cask IPA.
I'd say it's good. I don't know if I'll call it the best, but
okay.
to each their own. Hey.
It's the best IPA in the Golden Triangle neighborhood. Put it that way.
Okay, I'll allow
there
that.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll allow that.
Send some over to Grand Rapids. We have a couple of places that have that hand drawn cask stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And they're serving other people's beer. They're not just serving.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Right on.
You go like beer bars that have like special cask hand pulled beer systems.
Does the Hopcat do that now, Pete? I don't think they had many Firkins when I lived there.
You know what? I really don't go there enough to really know, but I know Logan's Alley has one, and I'm pretty sure Derby Station has one too. I mean, they're the same people, but I know they both have the the capacity for firkins and cask.
Yeah, is Logan's owned by the Derby people, or are they're not a Barfly thing, right?
No, they're not a Barfly venture, but they're owned by the same people.
Right on. I knew there was some intermixing of ownership there somewhere, and Logan's is like a fantastic dive bar type looking place. I remember the first time I walked in, I thought I was gonna get my ass kicked. And then
those could be some of the best places.
I know, it turned out
once you're accepted into the flock.
Yeah, well, turns out it wasn't even that hard of a place. You know, there weren't like bikers and shit there that were looking to whoop your ass or anything. But I saw a guy I knew from high school there, and I think I got did Avery make the 14er? Someone used to make a 14er ale, and it was like a really strong I can't remember who did it now to save my life, but I just remember I ordered a bottle of it because my buddy Steve was like, get this, it'll blow your hair back.
Nice.
Back when I had hair to blow back. And so I was like, this place is awesome. And they're like a pretty cool little craft beer bar.
They have a shitload of beer too. They have like over 250 bottles of beer from all over the place.
Oh, I love it. Beer bars with taps. Bottles.
See, that's the thing. It's like a dive bar mixed with a beer bar. So it's like actually walking into an alley that has a shitload of beer in it.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Did you ever finish your Around the World down there, Pete?
No. Nope. I got like
punch card.
Yeah.
Three quarters through.
So, he pulled it out. I went home for Christmas a couple of years ago, and he pulled out this just stained sheet of paper with like little check marks and shit on it. I'm like, what are you doing? Did you not know there's an app called Untappd for that? And he's like, no, this is my Around the World sheet.
Yeah, so basically you get like a sheet. I'm sure you guys have heard of this, but you just get like a sheet and it has all the beers on it. And you cross them off as you drink them and put the date and what you rated them as.
Nice.
And I mean, you obviously don't do this in a week or two. So you know, you go there like once or twice a week and have a few beers and fucking spill beer all over it and draw on it when you're drunk. So there's like pictures of robots and shit and beer all over.
Well, it sounds like it'd be frameable at the end.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. They give it. And you get like prizes too, as you like pass thresholds. So like 25%, you get something. 50%, you get something. 75%, something, blah blah blah.
Uh-oh.
Trend continues, but
Mike's pulling something out of his pocket. Oh my god, you have a book.
Your analog method.
I'm down with your analog method. Yeah. I got my little brew book here with a pen attached to it.
That's awesome.
There's something way more like,
I gotta put, like
charming
app
about
on
that.
The outside of it. Evernote app.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Hold on, let me put that in my Evernote app and just bust that out. People are like, what?
Does he know what is going on?
It's like our floor drain.
Yeah, it's like floor
drain. So we call our mop.
Oh, ever? Because
we need
ever?
We need floor drains at work. We don't really have that many floor drains.
So the mop is
floor
drain.
Our mop says floor drain on it.
Oh, that's that's appropriate.
It is.
Someone go get the floor drain.
It's a subtle way of complaining.
Our floor drain moves. A lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, yours is unique. It can be wherever it needs to be.
Yeah. I think that's a marketable idea. Mobile floor drain.
Hey, dude. I'm a marketer, and as an idea man, I agree with you.
Fantastic.
We should bust open another beer.
I think so.
Everyone's dry.
Probably.
We're ready.
Right. There was a place in Gainesville, Florida, where I lived before I came here, called Stubby's, and they were a Belgian beer bar.
I've heard of Stubby's. That sounds very familiar.
Yeah, they're big deal.
They're renowned, I think.
They were. They actually closed recently because the owner passed away, and his daughter owned it after him. And then she just was like, "I'm tired of doing this," and no one wanted to do it.
Aww.
But you get your name emblazoned on a little circle when you went through the entire catalog of 300 some odd Belgian beers that they had. And I remember getting to that point by the time I finished grad school, and my last beer was this horrible, horrible French thing called Belzebuth.
Ugh.
You familiar with that?
Uh-uh.
It's a malt liquor that it's 14.7%.
Oh, yikes.
And it comes in four packs, and it's actually not even 12 ounces, like 10 point something ounces.
Just fire.
Mike's all into proper glass.
He's
treatment.
Rinsing us. Oh, thanks, Mike.
But that was a great. Thanks, that was Scarves. A great place. Great place.
That's cool. Yeah, and they, I'm speaking almost of sure I've, either someone's told me about that or I saw something on it. Even
like you didn't get a card, but closed, you would go and they would bring out this tome that looked like the Necronomicon, and it was
I
wet.
Like that.
And they would
like
open it up and they'd be
like that.
Mariner. Yeah, here you go. You're 50 away. What are we going to do tonight? And I'm like, I don't know, 12.
It's like you're getting admitted into Hogwarts.
Basically. Yeah, it's like, I know. There is. Yeah.
You're a fucking dirty muggle.
You're a beer wizard now.
Yeah.
You're a beer wizard, Matthew.
Thank you.
Well, is everybody opening beer? Because I want to open my can like right in front of the mic.
Yeah, open yours right in front of the mic and then tell us what you're drinking. And we'll tell you we're drinking because it's probably better on our end.
It was Avery, the 14er.
That's what I thought. Yeah. All right. Nice.
Ooh, crack.
That's a sound bite.
That was a television commercial right there. You
could, like, kick off the podcast with that.
I might.
I feel like there should be girls in bikinis running around.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or guys in a pool.
Schmitz gay.
Love that.
Exactly.
Best beer commercial ever made.
Pretty much. What, did you just crack another Black Label?
No.
Yes.
Oh.
No, I wasn't asking you, Jeff.
It's not always about you.
It's like, what?
If you're gay and you like beer, Schmitz gay. Yes, I am drinking Black Label. I have a barrel-aged Imperial Stout by Saugatuck on deck. On dick.
Nice.
Sticking to the theme there.
Yeah, I got a shitload of Saugatuck beers at that last Barrel Age Festival that I have to go through. I mean, it's been like 9 months, so.
I'd say they're ready.
Yeah, it's been 12 months, so I should probably drink those.
Nice.
So we're drinking from Paradox Beer Company, End of the Beginning Volume 2, a Sour Blonde Ale. So, all right. Again, I haven't done my proper research.
Oh.
I'm familiar with your Scully numbered series.
Yeah.
So how does this all work? So usually your beers are numbered, and then this is a diversion, or is this an older one that was before the numbering system? Or
we have a bunch of different series going on.
Okay.
Scully is kind of the main series that we probably drop the most of. That's our sour series. It's kind of our used wine barrel series. We also use some spirit barrels, but they're going to be barrels that have already been used for other beers usually. So it's second, third use barrels. Whereas we have a Spirit of Scully series, which is first use barrels. So we've only dropped four of those now. Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
We're working on a fifth one right now. Yeah. And it's the fresh barrel series. So when we get in brand new barrels, we'll design a beer just for those barrels based on what they are. Actually, we got the Mezcals too. So we'll be doing that'll be number six.
Yeah.
Ooh, cool.
So, yeah.
Five and six kind of back to back.
So those will be coming as well. But that's kind of its own series because that's the fresh spirit barrel series, whereas Scully's just the sour series. And then these are sort of, these are their own thing.
Like, these are our favorite barrels.
That's cool. In the Beginning is going to be an ongoing series. This is the second one, and we're going to do a third one sometime in 2016.
Yeah.
And it's just really, we kind of set barrels aside for it. So if we find a barrel that we really like, but it's not going to quite work with the blend that we're doing at that time, we kind of think it stands on its own as something special, then we'll put it aside and market for this series. When we get enough of them, we build one of these.
That's pretty badass. It's like an employee's favor, employee really pick type thing.
It is. And that's the thing, is we find these barrels sometimes and it's like, oh man, everybody's got to taste this, and we'll just fill a bunch of glasses and make sure everybody in the brewery gets some, and then we all get excited about it. And I'd like to at some point be able to just bottle that one barrel and do some small single barrel stuff.
Yeah.
It's costly to do that.
We
end up building, it ends up being a pretty small batch every time. And I think that series will stay that way, very small batch, because it's really, we get to a point where we can't wait any longer on these barrels and we put the blend together and it's the right time.
So keep them hyper local.
And that's kind of what happens with it too.
Yeah.
And this one was only about a 9-barrel batch.
I think it was,
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So it's not a
270 gallons total made.
What kind of barrel was this one in as a sour blonde?
Mostly white wine.
It was mostly white wine.
But
we were digging through barrels. We found a really great tequila barrel that we had put in.
Really?
It had been in there for about 9 months and just spiked it with that. And kind of lends that a little bit of pepperiness there on the nose.
Okay. Yeah.
I was at Perrin today, actually, and they had one of their IPAs that was aged in a tequila barrel. I didn't get it because I thought that it sounded really, really gross. But how is that actually?
Well, for me, a beer that's only aged in tequila barrels and then all of that beer goes out into bottle, I don't really care for those most of the time. Really, it's a flavor for me that needs to be backgrounded a little bit. So when we get tequila barrels in, we don't use them as a primary so much. I did get these mezcals in that we're going to use. And so I've never used a mezcal barrel before, so we'll see if it's the same way. But we end up blending them down to get the flavor balance. Otherwise, it kind of takes over. It's got a very strong, oaky agave. They torch them pretty dark, usually, too. So you get quite a bit of char and barrel character.
Yeah, tequila is tequila. So like,
yeah, it's big and bold.
Aging something on a barrel that's been aging tequila just
and it'll kind of take over, and then you know, and then is it even a beer anymore because it just tastes like tequila? So we really try to make it, you know, a background flavor, a balanced flavor in the beer by blending them down.
Very cool.
The only other like beer I can think of that I've had in a tequila barrel that I can remember specifically was I did get some of that Mercenario.
Yeah.
That Odell's.
Yeah, I got
did.
Some of that too.
Yeah.
I thought that was really good. We actually, Matt, you and I drank it while we were watching Interstellar. We cracked a few bottles open that night.
Yeah.
In fact, I think you guys are standing on half of a River North Anniversary One that I spilled right there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic pictures of him mopping it up. I helped by taking pictures of him mopping
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so. Peeling the rug back like, oh, why? What cruel god did this?
We're going back to mopping at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, yes. See, it all comes back to mopping.
That's it. Beers,
God damn, mops. I love these full circles, guys.
Yeah.
It all comes back to mopping.
Beer's cleaning. It really is.
That's, everyone jokes around that being a brewer is as much, you know, brewing as it is being a janitor.
Yeah. It really is. Oh, no, we're janitors. No, we're 90% janitors.
Not a joke.
That's not a joke. It's just a statement.
It's janitorial.
It's a joke if you're stupid and you don't know what's going on.
Mostly Charlie work.
It's hey, I'm going to...
We say that all the time. We say that all the time. Shoot, we kill mice. I mean, yeah. Some days it feels nice. So go get your stick and let's do some Charlie work.
Get your beer. We have a fucking rat club.
That's right. I do custodial work as a part-time job, and I just call it my Charlie work, and people are like, yep, okay.
Yep.
Even my parents are like, are you going to do Charlie work today? I'm like, yep, it's happening.
Yeah, we're actually one of the other guys that comes up and helps us. He works at McDonald's. He has a lot of great experience in getting rid of rodents. One day he and I are having this discussion, and our sales reps behind us doing actual work, and we're just talking about how to kill rats.
Doing actual work. We got the one guy actually doing his job, and we're like, yeah, do you like double long nails, or like, what do you like? Maybe the twist ones. Yeah, twist. Like, well, really get into the brain.
I think specifically they were talking about the different methods of killing. Killing. You've now caught the mouse.
Yeah.
Now, how are you killing it?
Oh, you're not killing it. You're not catching it in a trap. You've, like, you know, caught it with your, you know, a glue trap or something. And you're like, all
right,
now what?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your preference? Where do you stand on the issue?
Well, there's all kinds of different ways.
Put it in a grain bag. Go out to the dumpster. Whack it on the side of the dumpster and then drop the grain bag.
I was going
to
say, that grain bag is now.
Unusable. It's a dead grain bag.
That's what's in this sour blonde, actually. This is just mouse. This is mouse grain.
Huh. Needs more rat.
I thought I caught some mouse in this.
A little bit.
It's white. White mouse, isn't it? Or is it brown mouse?
That's a great question.
Gray.
What, so,
I don't know.
What different flavors are imparted by different rats? Honestly.
That we don't know.
Does it depend on the cheese or the feces that the rat eats? Or, you know, really, what is the dynamic
or the
here?
Human flesh?
Human flesh. Also, rats do eat flesh, I suppose. They nibble on children's toes, things like that.
I thought they just nibbled out the eyes of dead people and then resurfaced and did other stuff. But
so are you in Grand Rapids, Pete?
Yeah, I am.
There's a guy that's assistant brewer at a brewery, or he was assistant brewer at a brewery here, who's now moving out to Grand Rapids to open a brewery, and I think he's just going to make wild beers, wilds and sours.
I heard about that. You're correct.
Yeah, it's Mitch.
Erdmeyer.
I'm not good at the last name.
Erdinger.
There you go.
Yeah.
So look into that if you can, and please support Mitch, because he's a really cool guy.
I'm trying to remember what that's called, too. I'm trying to remember what the name of the brewery is, because they've announced all that shit.
Well, Former Future is where he's leading from, so I bet you could find...
Hold on, I got this.
...something based on that, because he's part of the Black Project Spontaneous Ales stuff.
Wow, Former Future is already losing talent.
Yeah.
Man, they're not even that old. They're like, they just had their first birthday, I think. Second birthday?
I think second, at least. At least.
I think so, too.
Only been there once.
Today's the third birthday of OMFB. Our mutual friend is having their 30th anniversary today.
True.
I plan on going down to that.
Yeah, I was kind of wanting to stop into that too.
And so it's called Speciation Artisan Ales.
There you go, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Speciation Artisan Ales.
Very, very cool, Mitch. If you're listening
over there, I think that's
please come do a podcast with me.
Your phone's making that. Yeah, there we go. Thank you. What was that? Sorry.
I said, Mitch, if you're listening, come do a podcast with me.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I can hook that up. I'll make that happen.
Cool.
Jeff knows some people who know some people who rob some people.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I'll bring a couple of mics to like Brew Vivant. We'll just do a podcast from there.
That'd be badass.
Yeah.
Fucking anywhere. My
house,
I don't care.
Wherever it needs to be done.
My bathroom. We can take shits together. I don't care. We can shower together.
You know what? That's how I'll pitch it. We'll start there.
You pitch to Mitch?
I'll be like, when you're in Grand Rapids, you know you're going to have to take a shit. Like, right?
Oh, absolutely. So
why not shit with a man I've already vetted?
I'll start there. You can give him the tour.
Seems like a nice enough guy.
Why take out a Craigslist ad?
Exactly.
Right? When you just... Yeah. Pete's already offered his lovebird toilet.
The Beer and Loathing podcast is already starting to find whole new, like, ways to be useful to people. If you need to shit in a place you don't know...
We are matchmakers.
We got it. We're shit makers.
We are shit makers. Match shitters.
Sam, I'm going to use your shitter before I go.
Hope so. Yeah. I'd be honored if you took a dump in my bathroom.
Kind of excited.
Just don't be like my friend Eric and break my toilet seat. He walked in, sat down. Apparently, he cracked the seat, and he came out laughing. He's like, "I cracked the seat," and I thought he meant like I cracked the porcelain, which is, you know, a term for I took a shit so hard I cracked the porcelain or whatever. And I'm like, I get it. That's hilarious. Way to go. And he's still laughing. He's like, "No, you don't understand. I broke the seat. You need a new toilet seat because of what I just did." I'm like, wow. All right, guys. So this is a segment of the show where we have very loosely beer-related questions that we like to ask our guests, you know, a way to get to know them. And
like, where's your favorite ghost?
Not even quite to that extent, but in a sense.
Non sequitur.
No, it was, well, yeah.
That was a point.
I'm lost.
Based on the comments I get from my Facebook page, I just realized I just glaze over them and then take it wherever I need it to go. Or like the other night, just strips like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we got, like I said, we do some Would You Rathers, and Pete has some questions he likes to call good news, bad news, which they're similar. They put you in a situation where you have to, you know, make some decisions, and this is how we get to know our guests on a very intimate level.
Wow.
So we like to start with some warm-up questions. So, Matt, why don't you go ahead and go for the first one, because this one was intended to be our warmer-upper.
All right. This is
a would-you-rather.
This is taking it easy on you guys. Would you rather drink beer out of a green bottle shaped like a dick and balls, or out of a brown bottle shaped like two spread butt cheeks? No glassware allowed.
So I imagine that you're drinking the spread butt cheeks when you're drinking out of the butthole, yes?
Essentially, yes.
The butthole is the vessel, or is the aperture, if you will.
It's raised, so I mean, it's seen some action, quite possibly flagellating.
It might be a little distended.
Is it like a pink socking asshole, so it's like a tube, or...
It's brown glass, dude. It's all brown. If you want to imagine it being like that, go for it.
It looks like a really wrecked asterisk.
I guess my question is there a variance in the beer? So if you're drinking out of the green cock-shaped one,
identical beers,
Pilsner, or...
Well, identical beers, but you get the light ingress of the different colors.
The green glass.
So it's you know, essentially this is a green glass versus brown glass question.
And let's say you're drinking these in front of people.
I thought it was like a yellow beer versus a brown beer question.
Oh,
no. No, I haven't gotten there yet.
It's about bottleware.
I told you this is a warm-up, all right?
This is a warm-up.
I'm thinking too hard, I quit.
Yeah.
Basically, what we're asking is, would you rather have a dick in your mouth or an asshole in your mouth?
I'm going to go with the Hulk's shaft.
The Hulk's shaft? The Hulk's shaft?
I like
shaft?
That. The Hulk's shaft.
I think so.
Mike?
I'll take the opposing side. Everyone wants to get eaten.
Hey man, everyone likes to toss salad.
Team salad? Team Hulk dick?
I wish I would have posed like that.
Green. We're both green, man. We got common.
We're going green.
Right? Going green. Yeah.
I got to go green up in this bitch.
Team Hulk.
Yeah. I like that too. I didn't even think about that. That's my new favorite way of putting it.
So I take it that this question was actually posed on...
Yeah,
on Twitter.
You can see my notes, can't you? I actually came prepared for this podcast.
So we have a note related to how it was responded to on Twitter, and split 50-50 among six voters.
Yeah, we had three people said they'd rather go. I said go green or go brown or whatever. But
right.
My favorite was a friend of ours, Alex, said he pretend it's a girl's butt, and this is a question posed to everybody at this point, is a butt. A butt's a butt, right?
Yes.
Pete, yes.
I mean, there's certainly guys who have, like, curves and stuff, probably, and have a girly-looking butt, but I don't think... I think I could look at a lineup of butts and pick the girls out.
Well, I'm just saying, when you're going into brass tacks, if you're putting your lips to a beehole...
Oh, we're just talking the hole.
Well, just the whole. That's, well, that's,
I guess my problem.
That's I thought we were talking the whole butt.
Well, I mean, the bottle is shaped like spread butt cheeks, so okay. We're safe to assume.
I'm having a hard time picturing the bottle. Is there a visual aid that someone can?
We could quickly make one for you. Yeah, we could very quickly
Hold
make
on,
one.
Let me mock something up.
It is an audio only podcast, okay. But I don't All think right. I know you guys well enough to really show you.
I think it's worth noting that the way you wrote it is, Alex said he'd pretend it's a girl's butt, but a butt is a butt, right?
Yeah, but. I did type butt like four times.
It does
times.
Sound a bit like a Disney rhyme or something.
Yeah, or a really bad Dr. Seuss rhyme.
But a butt is a butt is a butt. Dr. Seuss, he was onto something there.
I think with some guys you can tell the difference, because if they're anything like most men that I know, you know, big, fat, hairy guys, and it's like you got a little bit of a prehensile tail coming out of your butt crack, so.
You know, my girlfriend says that I have a poor guy, fantastic butt.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But that's what the qualifier for
that's,
a guy.
That's what a man. That's what a man wants in a woman. That's what a man wants in a woman. Is a woman who
that's
thinks
like
his butt is fantastic.
You don't sweat much for a fat girl.
Exactly. I want a woman who appreciates at least my butt on the outside.
You talk well for a deaf person.
Exactly.
All right. Well. So, I mean, initially we actually matched up 50-50 until. Scarbo decided to like, go to Team Green or whatever.
Oh, did he switch?
I don't know. I thought he said both Team Green. He's still brown.
He's okay. I'm staying brown.
He took it to salad.
He's Team Salad.
He took it to salad. Team Hulk.
That's okay. That's green. Where Team Green came.
Yeah,
all right.
We went green. Yeah.
I wasn't listening. Yeah. So I'm just
Pete is cracking up right now.
I'm staying brown.
All right, Pete, why don't you go with your first one? I feel like we've covered this topic thoroughly.
I have to answer it. It's the dick and balls. Okay, guys, but...
yeah, I do.
As far as the good news, bad news goes. All right, so the first one is... The good news is you have access and rights to any and all beer recipes. So if you want to brew Budweiser's... Very on point Budweiser, you can do that. If you want to brew any beer that you want to brew,
this Pilsner is very on point.
And you can sell these beers yourself too. So like you could brew it and sell it.
Can I let Budweiser sell them for me? They seem to be really good at it.
I haven't finished the question.
It's a long question, you're losing me.
No, these are long.
I'll start at the beginning again. Okay, so.
Oh, no, don't.
You have access and rights to any and all beer recipes, but every recipe you use or access, you have to jam a beer bottle up your ass.
Oh, Pete, that's fantastic. All the way or just the neck?
This is your softball, like, this is leading?
We came up with this one, man. My fiance came up with
this. This is Pete's fiance. Came up with this question.
And she nice. Said, would you do it?
She's very nice.
No, she was asking him seriously, would you do it?
You want me to answer?
Oh, yeah. No, that's a legit right. question.
I thought there might be more to the question.
You never know.
Just kept going.
Well, for me, it's like being a musician and having access to copying any song I want to copy. I don't really want to write any cover songs.
No. But people will think that you did this originally, and it will be better than the original.
Yeah, but would I think that too? Because really, it's all about making myself happy.
Well, if you jammed a beer bottle up your asshole, I would.
Yeah. How happy are you going
to
be with
sounds,
that?
It sounds to me that he's going to take integrity over beer bottles
just,
jammed up his asshole.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I'll jam a beer bottle up my asshole either way. But like, I don't even really care about that so much as I want to make original beers that aren't. Beers that have already been made by
Listen, if you want me to put a beer bottle up my asshole, I will.
I'll
do it right here. You
I'll do it
just, right here.
Just to prove my integrity. Just to prove my integrity, I will put several.
Better hope that glass has
you can fit.
I want to throw out, though, that this goes for like every single century. Like you could brew the first beer that was ever brewed, or you could brew a beer that's 200 years in the future.
I kind of feel like we're at a good moment in time. I feel really lucky to... be able to make the beers that we're making at Paradox. Honestly, that sounds like I'm like bullshitting, but really that's my realest answer because I want to break ground in beer. I know that sounds silly, but that's really what I want to do. I want to break ground in beer, and I think anytime I know I could like steal someone else's recipe and everyone would believe that I broke ground in beer, but I wouldn't, so I don't know. That's it. Lame.
No, I think that's good. This is good for so many reasons.
And I'm shoving a bottle up my ass right now. So.
And you notice how his voice doesn't even fluctuate. That's how much of a professional he is.
I just thought of an inter-question synergy here.
Yeah.
Are these bottles that we're putting up Ehrman's ass?
Oh, it's the Hulk's dick. That's what I was saying. Oh, my God. Wait, were we not picturing that?
I didn't even connect the two.
I'm on the same bottle.
I was picturing a more meta thing, putting a butt up your butt.
Butt crime?
That's how you're going ass to ass then.
You're going ass to ass.
Yeah, that is ass to ass.
Sort of a Das Boot type scenario here.
It worked for Jennifer Connelly in that one movie, so... You know, Ehrman, you got long hair. You could be a Jennifer Connelly.
There you go. I'll be Jennifer in this scenario.
You can stand on a pier. Be great.
I try to forget about that scene in that movie that you just invoked, but yeah.
Why would you forget about it? It's hilarious.
The double dildo scene.
Fantastic.
With
the guy that fought Roddy Piper in They Live.
Yes. Maid Marian. You want to make some money, baby?
Yeah.
Want to make some scratch?
That fight scene is so Keith awesome, David. Too. That's the fight scene that they did in South Park. Did you ever see that?
No.
Yes.
They took the They Live fight scene and punch for punch redid it in South Park.
Really?
Everything.
I mean, so we all love like that fight scene, but just think about how ridiculous the premise is. Keith David doesn't want to put those glasses on.
And that's what the whole fight's about.
Man, motherfucker, can't make me put these
fucking
glasses on.
They almost kill each other.
And Roddy Piper, God rest his soul.
Integrity.
Mm-hmm. So, Mike, where are you at on the whatever Pete said question?
Hold on, yeah. Unclench before answering.
Yeah. Yeah, pull that ball up.
I'm only going ass to ass. So,
like, oh, okay, yeah, that's
sure,
right.
I'll do that all day.
Butt to butt? What?
There you go.
Thanks, Sam. I'll concisify what you're trying to say.
Concisify. That's a trademark.
So this is fun because... Pete, I don't know if you actually knew what my next question was going to be, or not my next question, but one of my questions was going to be, but it has very much to do with integrity as well. So
I had no idea. I actually went and took a piss and just came back as you said my name, so I think I had pretty good timing there.
You did. Good work, as usual. So much like the last podcast where I asked a question that prefaced yours without knowing it. So guys, would you rather... sorry, hold on. Be responsible for brewing the best beer in the world without recognition, or get recognized for brewing it, but you only were able to make it once. You were never able to recreate it.
So do you want recognition, or do you want
the fame, or do you want the beer?
Yeah.
The beers that we brew.
I kind of already answered it.
I know. But kind of, you did.
Yeah. I just want to make myself happy. that's the most selfish thing, but like honestly, it helps me sleep at night. If we're making the best beer we possibly can and we're happy with it, no matter what people say, no matter what, you know, world thinks. Yeah.
Get rid of that word selfish. It's self-full.
Now that, I guess.
That's a very important distinction.
But that's what it's about. So recognition, I don't really give
a
shit.
Would you be my new therapist?
Let me ask my therapist if I'm ready.
Okay.
The student needs to become the teacher.
Yeah.
I'd make the best beer ever and then not share it with anybody I didn't like. That would be my... I would get to choose each individual that got to do it, like get to know them and get to hoard this like best beer in the world and then bestow it upon people at no
like,
charge.
Like knight them?
Yes. Because that's you are now how worthy. I feel beer should be. Yeah, the best beer should go to those who are worthy.
Okay, what are the
thank you for sharing this KBS. Everyone I'm this feeling room. A little worthy right now.
What are the ramifications if, like, you tell your friend that you brewed this beer? They're like, holy fuck, this is really good. And you tell them, like, oh, I brewed it.
Bottle in your ass.
They, well, yeah. Sort of Hulk dick. Hulk dick in the ass.
Hulk dick.
Hulk dick, right up the old pooper.
Right up the old pooper shoot.
The tooter. The toot shoot.
Not in the butt.
The old rectum.
Michael, do you feel the same way? Sorry, I just got all Michael on you on that one.
Yeah,
it's not the first time I've done that.
No, it's not. I'll forgive you though. Just this one.
Appreciate it.
Any more? I don't think so.
Any more, and you're done. You're getting a Hulk dick up the butt.
No, I think especially when it comes to craft beer, that the whole recreation of a product is. I mean, that's tough. That's hard to do. So
yeah.
You make a good product, and you can put it out there, and you can do it every time and time again. And fantastic. fantastic, but I don't know. I'm into the small batch, one-offs, you know, vintage.
So if you accidentally made the best beer in the world ever and couldn't recreate it, you'd be like, yeah, I made that.
I really like our end of the beginning, too, that we put out last year, which has been in the, it's been conditioning for a year, and I don't think we'll ever come to a beer quite like that.
He's artfully dodging this question.
I'm artfully answering.
I think what you're saying is you have an appreciation for the ephemeral, things that are that exist for a very short amount of time, few people get to enjoy, well, and then they just
it's capturing out, a moment. Like we actually feel like beer is a moment in time. Every beer that's made, instead of fighting against nature and time and your changing palate and all the things, I mean, we can run these through a different kind of computer analyzations and find out exactly what the beer is and not even taste it. And then try to make another one and do it again and, you know, test it and go, oh, look how close we got to the same numbers and whatever. But
what happens when the Cascade hops harvest are just, they don't come in? And
Or they just don't exist anymore.
Cascade hops is no longer a thing. All you have is Simcoe. And how are you going to make your beer with the Cascade hops? And why would you attempt to recreate it? Just move on to the next thing. It'll be okay.
Are you the same person you were last year?
Oh, you guys took this way fucking deeper than you're, I intended it to go.
That's a good point. When you're drinking something now versus a year ago.
For me, like there's a philosophy to it for sure. We were actually talking about this a little bit on the way up here, is that, you know, I think some people just, their whole idea of beer is just, you know, we're going to make beer and we're going to get drunk, and it's just kind of a little simpler than that. And that's cool. Like, I think there's a place for that. And I think companies have shown that they can fill that place really well.
Absolutely started homebrewing with that. I was like, I can do this cheaper, maybe not better, but I will still be drunk.
But I'll be able to drink it, and that's the end result is what I need.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I can't afford or find enough Canteon to actually, like, buy it anyway, so I want to try to make beers that I hope are close to what they're doing over there, or at least a tribute to what they're doing over there.
Yeah, you know, something that's a homage, if nothing
that
else.
That we can afford, and we're really enjoying what we're doing, and
as long as we're on the topic before
we
get too
drunk. We don't duplicate things.
Before we get too drunk.
As long as we're on the topic before we get too drunk, you want to pop that one?
Yeah, sure. Got a Canteon to open.
Oh, that's all right. This is a rare good segue.
Yeah, the
in the history of the BNL podcast.
I totally agree. I think that you know, you drink something at one point in your life and you're a big fan of it and you love it. Maybe there's all kinds of contextual things that make it taste a certain way.
Oh,
and
there
then
is.
2 or 3 years later, you drink it and be like, you know, I just don't like this shit anymore. Yeah. It's like a song or a movie or anything
it
else.
It is. I go back and listen to some of the music I listened to in high school, and I'm like, who was I?
Exactly.
Like, did I really like this? This is so cheesy.
I still love Sum 41.
Scarves, yes. Oh, Scarves is not giving up his Blink 182 or Sum 41.
I was listening to Korn all day today,
there
just
you
for
go.
The record.
All right. So some of the
I still do occasionally at work put on a little 311 and jam out. But it's mostly because...
What should I admit to here?
It has little to do with like me liking 311 and more to do with me remembering what I was doing when I was listening to 311.
And I get that out of it still, too. Even the stuff where I listen to it, it's cheesy. It's like, I remember this guy. He was a different, less jaded guy.
Black Flag and Descendants are not nostalgic to me. They're still fucking awesome.
They're timeless, both of those bands that you just named.
You know, Pete, you know what's nostalgic for me is Millencolin.
I'm
big time.
Like Cold Chamber.
Cold Chamber.
They came up on my Spotify.
On my mix that stuff, I'm like, and Static X, and like some of the stuff I used to listen to in high school.
Power Man 5000.
So not to bring this down, but like when...
5000.
Yeah.
Did you forget about that?
That's Rob Zombie's fucking brother,
little brother. Yeah, Spider.
Spider, the worst name for little brother ever. No, like, but like you say Static X. I love those guys for a couple albums, and then I think it was a year or two ago, Wayne Static passed. Yesterday, Scott Weiland passed, that was like one of my first like favorite bands ever, basically. Yeah. And it's like I still listen to their stuff regularly. They put out.
We haven't talked about that yet, honestly.
I was going to try to avoid it just because it's far too topical for what we do.
I feel like I felt bad the way that I posted it on Facebook about it because I was taking a shit the other day, like my usual shit before I go to work, and I just on my phone taking a shit, and I'm like, oh, Scott Weiland's dead, God. So I, you know, share it on Facebook, and I'm like, he's dead and bloated, but I doubt he smells much like a rose.
That's such a great song.
I've seen him play.
I heard that song at like Blockbuster Music and like instantly bought the album.
Oh my God.
I was like, dead and bloated. I'm buying this. That's it. Yep.
Done. I just remember. So I've had the privilege of seeing them twice. Once with Scott Weiland and once with Chester Bennington.
Oh, wow.
And
Was that here in Denver?
Yeah,
yeah, was at the Fillmore. Was Christina or who, somebody?
Yeah, Christina.
Yeah, we saw them at the Fillmore with Chester Bennington, and he nailed every
It was a good show.
The old songs were...
They played almost entirely all old songs. I mean, they might have played one song that they wrote with him, but...
He annihilated Interstate Love Song. It was fantastic.
But so, you know, to bring it back to what we were originally talking about, no, I'm not the same person I was before, but I still listen to a lot of the same shitty music I did back in the day. And so now we're drinking some Cantillon. Oh, this is their Creek. Okay.
It's a Lambic Bio.
That explains why it's bright freaking red. Oh. Pete, if I could breathe this in the microphone into your mouth, I would.
It's the best funk in the world.
Dude, we need smell-o-vision, like right now.
I love the warning label on the back. It has this very shapely pregnant woman about to drink a beer with a
no.
Hey now, preggers, back off.
Seriously, like, look at her. As for a silhouette, she's pretty cute.
I'd bang it. But I'm in a massive dry spell, so I don't think that counts.
Hey, she's hot. She's got a ponytail and everything. That's good times.
Yeah, ponytail means she's probably pretty fun, you know.
She's outgoing, whips it around.
She jogs.
She's sporty, yeah.
She's Belgian, which is pretty much French, so.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Or
hairy
armpits, depending where you're from, Dutch, yeah.
or German,
or German.
My family's Alsace, so that's we're right there. German, Dutch, or German, Belgium, French.
Oh,
nice,
Alsace. Yeah,
I don't know enough about
my
lineage.
Right in between them all, and they just kept kind of conquering it over and over again. So it's like changed hands a few times. So people there speak like all three languages.
So it's like Game of Thrones. I'm just like conquering each other.
It kind of is actually, yeah.
I've never seen an episode, and I just made a relevant comment. How awesome is that?
This is the one guy on Earth that's never seen any episode of Game of Thrones.
Oh, it's such a good show.
Well,
we gotta go.
It took me a while to get into it. I'm way into it now.
It took me a lot of,
yeah, you gotta watch it.
I had to talk him into it for
the first season. I kept the wiki open so I could be like, who the fuck is what?
I've never read the books. I've read all the wiki though.
A good friend of mine refers to the books
as the Spark Notes.
Game of meetings, because basically the books is just meetings.
Yeah,
there's just 30 pages of, well, these people met about this thing and talked about this thing, and so it's pretty boring. But the show
is
has
blood,
so many sex, awesome dicks in it.
Yeah,
yeah,
most
plus,
dicks.
Plus, I mean, spoiler,
I love those. So.
Spoiler alert: Sheen Bean dies in it again. So, like, you know, it's gonna be good.
Did you just say Sheen Bean?
Yes.
Okay, I have to tell an anecdote very quickly. I had a friend in Gainesville who convinced his wife that Sean Bean's name was pronounced Sean Bon. Just like you said, Sean Bean.
Yeah.
So he's like, no, it's Sean Bon. And she's like, no, it's not. And he goes, no, you see the S-E-A-N-B-E-A-N, the way where he's from. And he was very convincing. He was like, he's from Cornwall. Do you know what Cornwall? It's a very specific part of the little tale of England that pops out and goes towards Ireland. Sean Bond for about a year. Sean Bond, and we all had to just be like,
no, that's Wales.
Keep it in. Yeah. She's like, did you see Sean Bond in Lord of the Rings? He was so cool. We're like, yeah, we did, Amy. That was fantastic. Oh, God.
That's my favorite part, too.
Anyway.
It's so funny. That seems like a good...
Funny that you said that.
That seems like a good anecdote transition now, Pete. What's your next question?
Good news is... You have literally tasted the best beer you've ever had. It is borderline orgasmic. But the bad news is that it's your best friend's tears, and you have to make him or her cry every time you want to
beer. I'll drink it. If it's that good, I'll drink it.
Okay.
How do you make your best That's fantastic.
Friend cry? How do you make your best friend cry?
Sam could make me cry in a heartbeat.
Dude, this is another one of Lee's. This is a really, really good
one.
How do you make your best friend cry?
Pete, come here and get my tears. You have the best beer ever waiting for you.
Yeah, there's still a little left in here.
Oh, my God.
There's a certain caveat to this, though. Your best friend
will die. They have to be sad tears?
Your best friend will die if he knows that anything that he produces is the best beer ever. So he cannot know, like, he can't cry on cue or else he dies.
So you have to harvest the beer in secrecy. Yeah.
Isn't he crying on cue?
Exactly.
Drinking a beer? Boom, I'm drinking a beer.
But not because he knows. This just got really loud, didn't it?
So I think what Pete is saying is that this friend of yours, you would have to engineer horrible tragedies in their life that they thought were external.
You'd have to, like, set up stage a murder on their puppy and make them
cut
cry.
The brake line on their mother's
car. So it's just
car.
That or not are our choices? Either you do this horrible thing.
You could have the best beer in the world.
Either you're
or
Hitler and you have, like, great beer. Or...
I'm not saying either way. Like, you just have to make your best friend cry if you want that beer. It is literally the best beer in the entire world. You just have to harvest the tears of your best friend somehow.
It tastes to you like the Holocaust tastes to Hitler. It's that good.
Matt, if you and I ever brew a beer together, we're gonna. That's the tagline to it.
Holocaust tears.
Hitler tears.
Hitler tears. Yeah, there it is.
Wow.
TM.
It's a Schwartz beer.
It's a Schwartz beer. Well, what we would call it is a Reichs beer.
Thank you.
Reichs beer.
Well, I guess my whole thing is it's my best friend, and then I couldn't share this wonderful beer with him, and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm sappy.
Well, could you share the beer with him?
I wouldn't do it with my best friend.
No, could you share the beer with him, though? Like, if you harvest the tears,
but
and you're like,
to,
you know, here, feel better. Feel better. This beer's delicious.
Like, you can absolutely serve him the beer. It's not like poisonous to him or anything, but you cannot let him know when you are harvesting the tears or doing your thing to harvest the
tears. So when you're sponging the tears off their face, you can't say, hey, here's what I'm doing.
I've already found a problem with this whole situation. When I cry, and I cry a lot, the tears go right into my mouth.
Yeah.
So if I was crying a delicious
you
beer,
would know.
I would be like, Mac, come on, man.
Like, this Goza is amazing.
Yeah, this Goza.
The salt level is perfect.
Incidentally, I love Gozas.
Yeah,
so,
too.
Yeah.
Another thing is, I just want to bait and switch you guys. I mean, you can make them laugh till they cry, you sons of bitches.
Well, that's why I was laughing and crying. I just told you, I'm laughing so hard out here.
Jeez.
Come get some beer.
Build some sort of tickle apparatus.
Now there's a beer name.
Somebody write these down. Hitler's tears and tickle apparatus are going in the same line.
Tickle apparatus. Oh my God.
I know some friends back home. Sean's new band in Grand Rapids is Dance Apparatus. So you need to convince them to change the name of Tickle Apparatus.
Probably.
Well, they'll come up with a beer that they brew themselves called Tickle Apparatus. Absolutely. I'm convincing them to do that.
Nice.
Don't touch me, Elmo.
That was.
Yes, if it was tears brought about by joy, I would have no problem inflicting joy upon my best friend.
It just depends on what your relationship with your best friend is. If you love to see him cry because...
Well, if he was my best friend, he would want me to drink the best beer in the world.
See,
that's
the
thing. I know him well enough.
See, now you're thinking, like, do this for me, but you can't tell him why.
Right.
That's the thing.
All right. Well, he loved me, so...
Oh.
Awesome.
That was...
Good question.
That was a good skimmer, Pete.
It
didn't
involve any bottles in my ass. So.
Yeah, wasn't quite as dark as the last episode, but it could have gone there.
From here on out, like, I don't think I'm going to do any like really really dark things. Sorry, any future podcasts.
Last episode involved murder. It was weird.
Nice. I only did that to Michael because I just wanted to fucking rack his morals as hard as I possibly could.
You've known him for a really long time, so that works.
Yeah.
All right. So I have one last. Would you rather? And I actually I really don't know how you guys are going to respond to this one. Would you rather have a medium to large sized brewery that's distributed, you know, regionally, hyper regionally, whatever, but struggle financially? Or would you rather have a very hyper local brewery and be, you know, relatively well off financially?
I think I'd rather struggle because I think that pushes you to try and do your best.
Oh, that's such an inspirational poster.
In it.
Mike doesn't even need a therapist.
I think he's good. So the choices is you could have a medium.
I'm struggling or I'm not struggling?
Struggling medium
regional. But you're medium to large regional.
Okay. If I'm struggling, I'm medium to large regional.
Yeah,
okay.
Or you could
if
be.
I'm not struggling, I'm.
You're, you know.
Like neighborhood.
Neighborhood brewery.
But just
hyper
like a nano brewery.
I'm doing neighborhood nano. Yeah, because you can always grow. So whatever.
What if there's just this magic thing? This is no, you can't.
Well, that's the thing is like I think a lot of breweries they go in with big funding and they get really big and they buy all this equipment and they're sort of beholden to a certain thing. And I think if you grow organically, again, I'm with a company that's trying to do this. If you grow organically and you sell out of everything you can make and then you make more and you sell out of that and you make more and you sell out of that, then I think that you both have a good relationship with your audience because you haven't overshot, you know, you're not sitting on the shelf and people are bored with you. And
amen.
I I think that's the way to go. I like paying bills too.
Paying bills is
not
cool.
Not having people calling me and stuff.
Debt collectors kind of suck.
Yeah. So I think that's, I don't know, that's the way I'd go probably. I think you can always grow from being the small one that you can't make enough beer. I like that. That's a good place to be. And that's actually kind of where we are right now. Like, we cannot make enough beer.
Yeah, so. You're just hand over fist, just like, ah.
Yep. It's great. We've got states waiting for our beer. We're in 7 states right now, and we've got 3 on deck that are kind of waiting until we can produce enough, and I don't know that we can in our current space, so we're kind of going to find out what we can do and go from there, and I think that's a great way to grow as a company is keep the demand higher than the supply.
Mm-hmm. Make it happen, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jeff's just answering all these questions so level-headedly.
I'm sorry. Give me more beer.
That's fantastic.
Give him more beer.
You guys are asking me questions I've actually thought about. Like, this is all stuff like...
This is like on your drive to work, you're like, what would I do in this situation?
Trust me. Yes.
If I had a Hulk dick of a bottle, what
like
would I
guy.
Do?
Exactly. You're just like this guy. I've got a good 35 minutes, or you probably a little further than me, drive to work, and yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do about, think about stuff like that all the time, for sure.
I got about 2 hours a day in a car, so...
Oh,
good for you.
All right, Pete, you got one. You got another question. That's all mine.
Oh yeah, I want to specifically target Jeff for this too, and his stupid level headedness.
Bring it, Pete.
Of course you will. That's Pete.
So the good news is that you find a seedy dive bar that you really love that will serve you anything you want at any time for free. The bad news is that upon entry, and every half hour thereafter, you have to relive the most embarrassing moments of your life as if they're happening in real time. Would you call this bar home? So like as you're drinking your free drinks, somebody will come in and you will relive a very like one of the most embarrassing fucking moments of your life.
So if you have
an embarrassing moment with your grandpa will walk in and unbeknownst to you.
Sorry, I had a moment with Mike here. I was like, grandpa.
Tell us about your grandpa,
Peter.
I have no embarrassing
Show us on the doll.
Show us on the doll where grandpa touched you.
Other than that one time I walked on him and grandma. But...
Nice.
God.
Was that embarrassing for him or you?
Yes.
I think it was grandma. Yes, would have been the appropriate
I think we need to talk about something else here, Pete.
So every 30 minutes I get embarrassed, but I get unlimited anything I want to drink.
Yeah, so every... 30 minutes, there is a really embarrassing moment that you have to live out again in your life that you have had in your past.
I'm way into this. Yeah, I have no problem with that. I'm not a very, although I guess I'm kind of selfish or self-centered or whatever. I don't think I'm...
No, self-full. We've been over
this.
Self-full.
Come on.
I don't think I mind being embarrassed. I don't know. When you're embarrassed, you're kind of, you're the center of attention. I don't mind that too much.
Good.
That's a good spin.
Good spin.
Absolutely. Plus, I'd be drinking. Plus, I'd be drinking the most amazing things in the world.
Plus, you'd be so shit faced at that point.
Yeah. So, if it happens every half an hour, how many half hours will it take till you don't really give a shit at all?
Like, how many Pappy Van Winkles until I think it's just hilarious?
Yeah. Until you're actually making new memories.
Yeah, I know. I'd be coming up with new ways to embarrass myself.
You could go in there and drink as much as you wanted till you're like blackout drunk. Be like, I don't fucking care about these embarrassing moments anymore. I'm drinking for free.
So is there some kind of like jackpot lottery you can make where you actually start recycling like embarrassing things? Like you just go back to something you did a half an hour ago?
It becomes super meta at that point.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like being John Malkovich.
Yeah, I like this bar. It sounds like I'm Cliff Clavin at Cheers and I'm way into that. So good times.
Yeah, essentially you would be John Malkovich at that.
Awesome. Oh, yeah. I like that, too.
Malkovich.
Yeah. That sounds good. The best drinks in the world at a bar, I think I would go there pretty much unless it was, like, causing other people pain or something. That sounds really awesome.
Yeah, if it's just some self-pain, then, you
know,
what's that?
Well, that's the thing. It's only hurting me?
Oh,
pain, yeah.
Pain totally. Don't hurt.
I'm into it.
Mm. Well, I mean, and it's your little local dive, so there's about 7 people in. 7 of them are just as wasted as you are.
Yeah.
At that point, broadcast it all over the world.
I was going to say, it's not like it's the fucking Hunger Games where everyone's just watching.
Why not?
Let's see what Ehrman does today.
Yeah.
Let's see what he relives today.
Okay, so in that same vein, if you want to hear one more, mm-hmm. I was going to limit myself, but this one is a good segue into the next question. The good news is you discover that you can be really, really fucking good at newscasting and covering the news, breaking news, blah, blah, blah. So much, in fact, that you can make a very comfortable living doing so. But the bad news to that is that you have to be really, really fucking drunk before you do it. So, like, if a breaking story comes up, you have to run into the bathroom and, like, chug a pint of whiskey or, like, slam a bunch of beers. All of the same problems of being drunk at work come with this, too. Like, you driving somewhere, you get pulled over, you know, your boss could realize that you're drunk. You're just really fucking good at newscasting when you're drunk. I mean, would you do that? Would you accept that as your life?
I'd hire a driver, and then this sounds like a win-win to me. Not only am I killing at my job.
You get super paid.
Yeah. I mean, cirrhosis be damned. I don't want to live past 60 anyway.
I don't want to be a newscaster at all.
Here we go. Level-headed airman. Sorry, back at it again.
The news is bullshit. It's all a lie. So I don't want to be like a liar, like the town liar.
So, no, it's town crier.
No, thanks.
Town crier.
Right. I was playing off of that. Thank you.
John Crier.
I'm trying to take
hands. That's what we call word jokes.
Pull a handgun on me.
Pull a handgun on you.
Anakin loves explaining my jokes.
He's not even here yet. He makes the podcast.
I know. He's here in spirit.
He's going to love it so much. So yeah. I think you got your answer, Pete.
So I don't want to be a newscaster.
Are you satisfied with that?
I've been satisfied with every answer I've heard.
Well, guys, that was awesome. Thanks for putting up with us, and thank you for bringing the level heads we needed to bring to this podcast.
You guys are way too level headed. I wish you were drunker. I wish you were blackout drunk right now. I don't need this
level.
We're just getting to know each other. How about we go to second base next time?
We got someone who's an alcoholic here. It's so hard to get blackout drunk these days.
It's kind of hard to get blackout drunk these days. That's why I hang out with Sam. I live vicariously through Sam.
2/3 of the time you see me, I don't remember it. So.
Oh, man.
That video I put out the other day.
Last Friday, of the time else. That you've seen me, I've been. Oh my god!
No, that video. So Mike was the guy that I said had a shiny forehead in the video I put out the other day, and
yes,
and I literally woke up and had no recollection of taking that video. I found it a few days later. I'm like, this is hilarious, but I had to cut out so much stuff because I sounded absolutely just stupid and also very loud. But that was a good time. But no, again, thank you guys for joining us.
Yeah, thank you
definitely.
Guys.
Definitely. It was fun.
Definitely. We're fans, so keep up the good work, guys.
So I feel like maybe we'll have to do this again.
I think so.
And
it seems like a part one to me.
Yeah, I could agree with that.
I have that feeling.
It seems like a cliffhanger.
There are so many more things we could shove up Airman's butthole.
We're building a franchise here.
Fuckers building the franchise.
Only scratch the surface on rat killing.
Exactly. We'll get back to that. There are more superhero penises out there.
Oh, yeah. We only talked about shitting and mopping like twice each, so I mean we got way more to cover.
On that note.
Indeed. You can catch the Beer and Loathing podcast on iTunes and our website, beerandloathing.com. You can find us on the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and also our YouTube channel, Tune In, Get Drunk. That's right, Tune In, Get Drunk. It's a guarantee, fuckers. You can also drink with us on Instagram by hashtagging BNLPics and share a picture of whatever you're drinking.
Or your boobs or your dick.
And those. Get it. All right, that'll work. Is it cool if we ask you about the brewery, like how it's coming along?
Yeah,
with the new location.
Definitely.
All right, cool.
I'm Jeff Ehrman, brewer there.
Hold on, we're not even there yet.
Oh, we're not.
Yeah,
I thought that's what you were getting into. that sounded like a question, no, Sam. But
sorry, that was a question before the questions.
I need to write a good news, bad news about superhero penises now.
please do that.
I feel like I just saw the bat signal.
I'm looking at you, Ant-Man.
a bat signal with cock and balls.